Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon, Ohio, with Pastor Lance Wise. I want to take just a moment and invite you to attend one of our services in person. We gather Sundays at 10:30, and all are welcome. If you'd like more information about our church, please visit our website, havenheightsbaptist.org, or see us on Facebook. When we lived in Louisville, I heard a story about a man who changed a toilet in his bathroom. Wanting to get rid of the toilet, he set the toilet outside for the garbage man, but the garbage man refused to take it. At first, he was unsure what to do, but then an idea came to him. He remembered that he had purchased a TV. So he took the TV box, he put the toilet inside the TV box, then he loaded the TV box into the back of his truck. He drove to the shopping mall, went inside the shopping mall, and when he came out, his problem was solved. Someone had taken the TV box with the toilet inside. And it's pretty funny. We can imagine the would-be thief opening the TV box, and no TV but a toilet. But what's not funny is that he banked on the fact it would be stolen. The man rightly understood, there are people who want to steal from me. We live in a world where stealing is normal. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, commandment number 8, the word of our God, you shall not steal. Let's pray together. Father God, this morning we pray that you would speak to us. And we pray that you would speak to us because we do not consider ourselves to be thieves. Father, we read a passage like this and our typical thinking is that there's application here, but it's for someone else. And so, Father, we pray that your word would work in the nooks and the crannies of our lives. We pray this morning that you would make clear what you have for us. And Father, by your mercy, would we leave here changed, more like your Son, Jesus. In Christ's name we pray, amen. If you're taking notes this morning, we have two simple questions to guide our time. So the first question is, what is the command? It's number one, what is the command? And then number two, why should I obey? Why should I obey? So first question, what is the command? The command is simple, you shall not steal. Stealing is taking something that belongs to someone else without their permission. Taking what is not ours without right. Now that command is simple enough, and yet the scope is enormous. As I looked at stealing this week, I was amazed at all the different nuances and definitions we have for stealing. Shoplifting is taking property from another, but only when the store is open. But burglary is breaking in to take that property. Hijacking is taking property, but only while the goods are in transit. Robbery is taking from another by force, whereas pickpocketing is taking without notice. Embezzlement is taking money that's entrusted to our care. Racketeering is taking money that is outside of our purview. And extortion is using threats to take money. Copyright infringement is taking anyone's intellectual property, whereas plagiarism is limited simply to words. Fraud is underreporting assets or overinflating claims. Usury is lending interest at an exorbitant rate. And slavery is the taking the livelihood of another. And there are more definitions than that. All of these little nuances of one theme, theft. Taking what is not ours from another without right. In the 1930s, Norman Rockwell painted this famous picture for the Saturday Evening Post called Tipping the Scales. And when I describe it, maybe you've even seen the painting. So it's this painting of a lady. She's at a butcher shop. And hanging in the center is a scale with meat on the weight plate. The lady is on one side of the scale, and then the butcher is on the other side of the scale. And what makes the painting so fascinating is the sly look they have on their face. It looks so strange, the painting just begs you to examine it further. And upon closer inspection, you see that the butcher has his thumb on the scale pushing down, and the lady has her index finger under the scale pushing up. And the butcher's trying to make the scale weigh more than it is so that he's going to get a little bit more than he should. And she's trying to make it weigh a little bit less than it should so she can pay a little less than she should. And each have a sly look on their face because they think they are taking from the other. And this happens all the time. Consider our workplace. Time theft. Employees claim to have worked more hours than they did. Or maybe an employee has someone else punch the time clock on their behalf. Outright stealing. Employees take supplies and equipment from the office. Or fraud. Employees claim expenses that are exaggerated or perhaps even illegitimate. And it's not just employees who steal from their employers. Companies do the exact same. Companies regularly ask salaried workers to work overtime without pay, and employers say things like, we need each person to just give 5 extra hours a week, and then we'll be profitable. Or when downsizing, companies expect their employees to produce the same by simply working harder. And it's stealing. It's taking from workers without compensation. Employees steal from their employers, and employers turn right around and steal from their employees, each trying to take something from the other. Or consider our government. Tax season is around the corner, and some will try to steal by committing tax fraud. And our government knows this, and so they created the Securities and Exchange Commission, an entire government agency just to try to keep people and corporations honest. Keep them from stealing. And then our government turns right around and steals from us. Our government spends more than they collect, which accumulates vast interest, which is taking from our children's future. Stealing is everywhere. And stealing is so common that we don't even think about it. And yet every time we type in a password or we enter our PIN number, it's only because someone wants to steal from me. Stealing is normal to our way of life. And it's no small thing. Office theft costs corporations perhaps $50 billion a year. Some estimate that when you go to the store and you buy a product, that as much as 1/3 of the cost of that product goes to pay for stolen goods or services. Or consider the financial collapse of 2008. In 2007, banks were making record profits from selling mortgages that were junk. Many times the mortgages were for more than the value of the home. Or they were extended to people who had no ability to pay for the mortgage, and yet the banks made profits from selling things that were worthless. And when the banks threatened to go under, the taxpayer foot the bill, and the bankers got rich, and it was more than greed, it was stealing. It took trillions of dollars from taxpayers and retirees. And it wreaked havoc on the world's economy for years. What is stealing? Stealing is a problem. Stealing is everywhere. It's a violation of commandment number 8. It is sin. Second question, why should I obey the command? And I hope we want to obey the command. And I hope we're people who say, I don't want to steal. And I hope we're even people who say, I want to obey the command because the Bible tells me so. And yet, everyone knows the command. When people are asked, what are the Ten Commandments? Stealing always makes the list. Now, the command to honor father and mother, that may not make the list. People may forget about honoring mom and dad, but stealing, people remember stealing. And yet, stealing's everywhere, and it happens all the time. And we steal because we think stealing isn't that big of a deal, or we steal because we think that's going to help me get just a little bit more ahead. What I hope we see this morning is that every time we take from another, something is taken from us. Stealing is far more than taking from another. It's also taking from us. When we steal, it will take our joy, and then it will take our life. We've all heard the joke before, what's mine is mine, and what yours is also mine. And it's funny because that's ridiculous, right? What's mine is mine, and what's theirs is theirs. But that's not right either. What's theirs is theirs, and what's mine is his. According to the Bible, what's mine is actually God's. And so do not steal means more than simply do not be a taker. Do not steal means to be a giver. Christmas was only 2 weeks ago. And every parent and every grandparent knows there is nothing better than watching our children open our gift. Every parent, every grandparent knows the joy of the giver far outweighs the joy of the recipient. And that joy, the joy of giving, is from God because giving is to be like God. You see, prior to creation, God was in perfect relationship with himself. He lived in perfect heaven. He was perfectly happy. And yet God said to himself, you know what would make this perfection even just a little bit better? He said all of this could be just a little bit better if we gave of ourselves. If we made mankind so that we could share ourselves with them. If we gave ourselves away, that would be better. And we know the story. We know that God creates Adam and then God creates Eve. And we know that rather than choosing to obey God, they choose to sin. They eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know that their sin spreads to the entire human race. And we know that just like Adam, we too are sinners. And I hope we know that God sent Jesus to rescue us. And that Jesus came to rescue us not only by coming to us, but by giving his life for us. And then we read in Hebrews chapter 12, for the joy set before him, he endures the cross. Our God is such a giver that when he gives his life, he says it's joy. Our God doesn't give out of duty. He doesn't owe anyone anything. He's God. He doesn't give out of duty. He gives out of delight, and he gives it because he loves it, that even giving everything is joy. And so God commands us to give, not because he's greedy, but because he's good. He says, be a giver for joy. He says, there's nothing better than giving. That's the best joy. That's why I created. I created to give. I gave of my life, and it's joy. And so he says, don't steal. Don't be a taker, but be a giver so that you can have joy. And when we give of our money, and when we give of our time, and give of our possessions to the Lord, do you know what he promises us? He promises us eternal joy. And he says that when we give, that's actually laying up treasure in heaven, Matthew chapter 6. And many have speculated, what could this treasure in heaven be? And some have said, well, it's probably actual treasure. It's probably jewels and things of value. And others say, well, it might not be actually literal. It might just be something that we can't yet understand. And no one's exactly sure what this treasure that Jesus speaks of is. But here's what we do know. That treasure is to be enjoyed. It's for joy. That's the point. Give now so that we can have joy for all of eternity. Don't steal. Don't be a taker. Don't do that. Because stealing will take away our opportunity for joy. Stealing will first take our joy, and then stealing will take our lives. Perhaps you remember the story of Jericho in the Bible. Do you remember how God told his people in the Old Testament to march around the city once per day, and then on the seventh day to march around the city seven times? And do you remember how on the seventh day, after the seventh time they marched around the city, the walls came tumbling down? God told his people, I will knock the walls down. And then God said, when the walls come down, you go into that city and you destroy everything. Destroy it all, except for the silver, the gold, and the bronze. God said, the silver, the gold, and the bronze, those are going to be mine. So God's very clear about this. He says, all the spoils are mine, not yours. So don't take them. Better still, don't even touch them. They march around the city for 7 days. The walls come tumbling down. The city is exposed. The soldiers go in, and they begin to just raise everything, set fire to all that they see, and at the same time, they set aside the silver, the gold, and the bronze. And then in Joshua chapter 6, we meet a man named Achan. And Achan sees the spoils, and he thinks, I could take some of this for me. And he thinks, God won't miss just a little bit. And I'd really like to have it. And so Achan, he wanders away from the group. And he sees a gold bar, and so he puts it in his coat. And then going a little further, he sees a silver bar, and so he puts that in his coat. And then he runs home. And when he gets home, he buries the treasure in the ground. And he buries it because it can't be displayed, it can't even be seen, because God is very clear, that's not yours, that's mine. And he knows if anyone sees it, then they're going to know, and they're going to know that I stole it. And so he hides it. And then back at the camp, there's much celebration for all of the military success that God has given. None of the soldiers had to really fight, and no one got hurt. And so Joshua decides, with all of this success on their heels, it's time to attack the next enemy. And so they go to fight another day. And at the next city, God doesn't help them, but God turns his back on them. And Joshua cries out to God. And he says, where did you go? What happened? Why weren't you with us? Our soldiers died. You turned your back on us. And God says, I wasn't with you because someone sinned. Someone stole from me. And God tells Joshua, this is what you're going to do. You're going to have all of the people line up. And they're going to line up tribe by tribe, family by family, man by man. Joshua blows the trumpet and the people line up. The tribe of Judah comes forward and Achan's tribe is set apart. Then the families come forward and Achan's father is set apart. And then Achan comes forward and God says, "Thou art the man. This is the one who stole from me." Joshua sends men to his tent to investigate, and they began to look around, and they began to dig, and sure enough, they find hidden in the ground the gold and the silver. And then God said, "Achan and all who lived in his tent must be put to death." And so the people of God, they pick up stones, and they throw stones at Achan and his wife, and his children, until they are dead. Don't miss what happened to Achan. He thought he was taking just a little bit of silver and a little bit of gold, and it took his life. Because that's what stealing does. Stealing takes life. Achan takes the silver and the gold and he immediately buries it. No one can see it. No one can know. It has to be hidden. And without a doubt, Achan is worried sick that someone saw him take it, worried sick that someone saw him buried it, worried that someone's going to snitch on him, worried that someone's going to stumble upon it. And without a doubt, he is up all night wondering, did anyone see? Does anyone know? Wondering, what if I am found out? His conscience is rattled. His peace is stripped away. It's already beginning to take his life. And then Joshua says, "Line up because someone sinned." And his sin did to him what all sin will eventually do. It takes life. And they hurled stones at him until he was dead. Now, sometimes, and I can say this because my boys aren't in here right now, sometimes my boys are caught in a sin. And they know that punishment is coming. And they say, "Dad, can't you show just a little bit of grace?" And perhaps we wonder that here. Why couldn't God show just a little bit of grace? Why did he drop the hammer? Why was the penalty so high for stealing? Why was it death? It's here we have to remember the story. The people of Jericho wanted to kill these people. That's why they went to war. One side is going down. Two people go into the fight and only one people is coming out. Either the people of Jericho are going to succeed or the people of God are going to succeed. And God tells his people, you don't need to worry about a thing. God tells his people, all you're going to do is you're going to walk around this city a few times and I'm going to take care of it. And Achan is there. Achan is there when the walls come tumbling down, and Achan is there when his enemy is defeated. And rather than saying, God deserves all that I have and all that I am, Achan steals from that God. He saw God's power and grace levied for him, and yet he stole from him. And here we are this morning. We've heard it. We've prayed it. We've sung it. All that God has done for us. And just like Achan, how tempted we are to keep from God what is rightfully His. Maybe it's money. And we know it all belongs to Him. And we know that we're to give a portion of it back to Him. But how easy it is to take for ourselves. Or our time. We know that we should serve God. We know that we should be in church. We know that we should serve the church. And yet how easy it is to take just a little more time for ourselves. Or maybe it's our speech, or forgiveness, or obedience, or any number of things. Any number of things that we know that God requires from us, and yet for whatever reason we refuse to give, and all of it is theft. And it's not just Achan who stole from God. It's all of us. One of the things about the Ten Commandments is that they're uncomfortable. We've been going through the book of Exodus. We've been looking at each commandment in detail. And they never let us off the hook. We read the commandment and our first thought is, well, that's not me. And we open our Bible for the sermon and we think, I'm sure someone needs to hear this, but it's probably not me. And yet, if we're honest, we know that each of us has been a thief. And each of us has failed to give to God not only what He requires from us, but what was already His to begin with. And if we're here this morning and we are realizing I am a thief, good. That's good. Because that's the point of the command. God gives commands such as these so that we see how much we need Jesus. Some 2,000 years ago, Jesus was crucified between two thieves. Matthew makes that clear. There was one robber on his right and one robber on his left. And there in the middle is Jesus. And in the eyes of God, the man in the middle was equally a thief. Because the man in the middle bore our sins in his body. 1 Peter chapter 2. And if we remember the cross, the one thief looked at Jesus and said unto him, "Will you remember me?" And one thief realized, guy in the middle is not on the cross because he's a thief, but because I'm a thief. And the thief realized he has done nothing but given everything because I didn't do what I was supposed to do and took what didn't belong to me. And he realized the man in the middle is paying for my sins of theft. And every thief who sees Jesus as the one who paid for my sins is the thief who is now cleansed and who is forgiven. Each of us is that thief. Each of us has taken from God, taken what was already His to begin with. And our only hope this morning is the one who gives of Himself for salvation.
You've been listening to the preaching of God's Word from Haven Heights Baptist Church with Pastor Lance Wise. If you're looking for a church home, consider joining us on Sundays at 10:30 for worship, Sunday school at 9:30. For more information, find us at havenheightsbaptist.org or see us on Facebook.